Lift your hands and give Him the praise. Father, we worship You. Father, we honor You. Father, we adore You. Father, we magnify You. Thank You, Father, for this privilege of knowing You. This privilege of connection to You. For this almost week-long reign of Your Spirit. Reign of Your fire. Reign of Your word. The reign of Your presence. We thank You. And we thank You. Let no one here live the same. Be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a praise. Take your seat for a minute. Welcome someone by your side. Come and have your way. Come and take my life. This morning is an impartation service. An impartation is transference of virtue from a vessel to another for the purpose of destiny transformation. The impartation is going to help us to be who God wants us to be, or rather, to do what God wants us to do with our lives. Please, I want to plead this morning that everybody should endeavor to do what God wants them to do with their lives, not to do something else. I don't want anybody to come under pressure to try to do things that they have no grace to do. They have no calling to do or no direction to do. Oral Roberts, Kenneth Higgins, T.L. Osborne, they lived together in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They were friends. They moved together. They functioned together. But Oral Roberts and T.L. Osborne were particularly tight. One of the sons of T.L. Osborne that T.L. Osborne had impacted massively, he told me, after T.L. Osborne had passed, I'd like you to listen to this, that Oral Roberts called him and he said, I'd like you to pray for me. And the young man said, me pray for you? No, I can't pray for you. He said, oh no, you don't understand. He said, when T.L. Osborne was alive, if I had a need, he prayed for me. If he had a need, I prayed for him. But now he's no more. And he laid hands on you. You have his spirit in you. So you pray with me. Pray for me. That was how they were. So they were all together. Oral Roberts, T.L. Osborne, Kenneth Hagin. But they never struggled to do what the other was doing or to outdo each other. Kenneth Hagin's ministry was purely based in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He rarely traveled. I don't know of any record of him travel outside of America. But from his base in America, he ignited the whole world. Very rare will you see a pastor, a minister, who has not read a Kenneth Hagin book. I mean, it's very, very rare. From one base. So it is possible that God may plant you in one base. And give you a territory, a locality, from where things can happen there and also happen and ignite the world. So that was Kenneth Hagin of the three. Next is Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts was a healing evangelist. And even though he was a healing evangelist, his healing and evangelistic ministry was majorly domiciled in America. If he traveled outside of America for one or two crusades, maybe one, I don't know of the details, but I know that he was basically, purely an American evangelist, television evangelist, crusade evangelist, tent evangelism. And in doing that, he impacted the whole world. Then the third one, the T.L. Osborne, was minimally in America, but majorly in the fields of the earth. He was in love with India. That was the first place he went for mission. And then went to India again and again. T.L. Osborne will come to Nigeria and do crusade in Uyo. You are talking of almost 60 years ago, when there is not what is Uyo. And do crusade in Ibadan, Enugu. I think there was a bowels or something. That's him at Benin Airport. With our Papa Lion in the house. Hallelujah. And so you can look at three friends. They strengthened each other. They challenged each other. Papa Yerepo will come to T.L. Osborne and see T.L. Osborne reading intensely the book of Kenneth Hagin. He will go to Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin is reading intensely T.L. Osborne's book. Wow. That is how life should be. I like to make this clarity because someone told me, he said, he sees the crusade clips and all of that. You know, when we show you crusade clips, we might be showing some of the crusades we have done this year. We might be showing some of them tonight. Yes, we might show some of them this evening. If that is to put you under any pressure, it is the pressure of investing your energy in your assignment. It's not the pressure of pushing you to do what you have no grace to do. It's not the pressure of pushing you to say, how do I catch up or meet up? I don't know if I'm communicating. Papa Yereko said the other day, he said, God connected him with Kenneth Copeland. He said Kenneth Copeland's work is to go around the world. He said, but Papa said his work is to sit down and walk in a sitting position. See, everybody is walking, but it depends on the direction of the walk. God's servant Papa Yedepo has an air, well, he has had many aircrafts, but there is an aircraft, a Challenger, that almost brand new, like less than 500 hours or something, that has literally been immobile for the last 8 years because God told him, sit here, don't move. You see, he has not even crossed from Nigeria to Benin Republic. From Canaan land to Benin Republic is about 30 minutes drive. See, he hasn't crossed for the last 8 years because God told him, sit down. He sees our crusade clips. I sent to them. He said, send them to me. He said, let me know of the movements. I Hallelujah. So this clarification I feel is necessary, because I was answering somebody's question yesterday on this area, and I believe that it will be helpful to all of us. Somebody who has received help there, say a loud amen. Amen. Say a louder amen. Amen. And if the things that you see are the line of what you do, why not? It sharpens you massively. Sharpens you aggressively. So that you can be on the run and see the things to there. Now I'm going to go to part 6 of the message that we started last night. I'm going to trust God to be a bit faster this morning. It is the necessity of boldness. Part 6. I'm going to round off on the necessity of this boldness, and then quickly go into the secrets or the keys to boldness. Let us look at all the things we have looked at on why boldness is necessary. First of all, yesterday I said boldness helps us to go after the enemy, to take back what is ours. We go after the enemy, we take back what is ours. Number 2, that boldness helps us to dare everything in order to fulfill the desires and pleasures of our master. You saw the story of those mighty men that broke through the rank and got water from the well of Bethlehem. Number 3, that boldness helps us to take a stand for God in the face of threat and danger. There is threat, there is danger, but we have a stand. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And fourthly, a boldness helps us to take a stand even if we have to stand alone. You have a stand, even if you have to stand alone. Because the time may come when you look around you, and even though you are not the only Christian there, but you are the only one standing. But you are bold enough to stand alone. Number 5, the boldness is needed to reject and react against ungodly laws and decrees. When it goes against the law of God, we go against it. Number 6, the boldness is needed to take godly actions in the interest of God and his people at any cost. Godly actions. You remember how Esther took action? You remember how Joseph of Arimathea took action. Number 7, boldness helps us to stand firm and speak out in the face of envy, in the face of opposition. You are bold enough not to say, why are they always after me? Number 8, boldness makes us unstoppable and irresistible. It causes us to identify alternative causes of action and ushers us to a place of enlargement. Unstoppable, irresistible, causing us to identify alternative causes of action and ushering us to a place of enlargement. That was where we stopped yesterday. Number 9, Romans chapter 10, verse 20. He said, but Isaiah is very bold and saith. Isaiah is very bold and saith. I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after. Uzziah was very bold and said, number 9, boldness makes us to say what others fear to say. It makes us to say what others fear to say. Makes us to speak what others fear to speak. It makes us to dare what others fear to dare. Again, boldness makes us to say what others fear to say. It makes us to speak what others fear to speak. It makes us to dare what others fear to dare. Isaiah was bold, and for that boldness he said, we live in a world where time comes where somebody must say something, where somebody must say something against evil, where someone must say something against the devil, where somebody must say something that God must hear, the devil must hear, the people must hear. We live in days where someone must say something, and the bold and the timid and the cowards are just watching and mopping. They feel bad about things, but they say nothing. They are affected by the situation, but they say nothing. But it takes the bold to say what others fear to say, to speak what others fear to speak, and to dare what others fear to dare. So boldness makes people say the unsayable, speak the unspeakable, dare the undareable. It's very important. You know, there were many prophets in Israel, but not everyone spoke until Elijah spoke. And when Elijah went before God and said, I'm the only one, they seek my life, God said, you are not the only one. There are thousands of toothless bulldogs. You are not the only one. Obadiah hid 100 prophets in caves. None of them prophesied. None of them said anything about Ahab. None of them said anything about the prophets of Baal and idolatry in Egypt. And listen to this. When God sees a man who dares what others don't dare, he gathers the mantles and gives to the man. That was why Elijah operated as if he was 1,000 men. He carried the anointing of about 1,000 men. A prophetic anointing, a judgmental anointing, a vengeance mantle that belonged as if it belonged to 1,000 people. Because prophet 1, prophet 2, prophet 3, prophet 4, prophet 5, prophet 6, prophet 7, prophet 8, prophet 9, prophet 10, all the way to prophet 100. All of them were prophets that could not prophesy. They were prophets that did not declare anything or decree anything. So God said, mantle from prophet 1, come. Mantle 2, mantle 3, mantle 4, mantle 5, mantle 6, mantle 7, mantle 100. Elijah, take. Just go there and talk. Say whatever you need to say. Speak what you need to speak. I am here with you. So he manifested multifaceted and multidimensional and very, very drastic heavy mantles, because he was made to speak on the behalf of those who fail to speak and the power of those who will not speak. That was, I believe, what made him come to the point where death couldn't catch him. He went bodily into heaven. The mantle was too much for death at that time. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Please take your seat. Hallelujah. The boldness makes us say what others fear to say. Makes us to speak what others fear to speak. Makes us to dare what others fear to dare. My wife tells me at times, she said, when I have certain encounters and talk with some people, he said, you mean you said that? I said, exactly, I said, complete whole like this, direct like that. He said, I know. can easily say that. Hallelujah. Take your seat. Boldness. Number 9 or 10 now is connected to number 9. Boldness makes us to speak the exact mind of God. The exact mind of God. And do the exact will of God. What God wants to say, how He wants to say it, He finds bold people to say it through. Romans chapter 10 and chapter 10 verse 20 makes us to speak the mind of God and do the will of God. The reason why the boldness is needed is because at times doing the will of God makes you unpopular. Saying the mind of God may make you unpopular. Doing the will of God may make you unpopular. Saying the mind of God may make you controversial. The will of God, the mind of God. But it was Archbishop Bessie Dahosa of blessed memory that said, it is better to be controversial than to be inconsequential. Makes us to speak the mind of God and do the will of God. That's boldness. This is what God said. That was what made Elijah come before him and say, thus saith the Lord, there shall be no rain or dew except by my word. You say the mind of God. You say the mind of God. You do the will of God. Number 11, boldness makes us to preach the word of God without fear to preach the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel. It is time to rebuke, you rebuke. It is time to correct, you correct. There are times when some people will feel like somebody, I was preaching one day in the church, and a husband told the wife, so you went and reported me to the pastor. So you went and reported me to the pastor. And the woman said, I don't report you to pastor. I can't report you to pastor. Pastor speaks to God. God, he hears God. There are people who have preached some messages and some rich men left the church. In fact, some rich people one day told the pastor, if you preach like this again, we will stop, we will withhold our giving. And the pastor said, I'm sorry. I won't talk like that next time. That is a pastor whose ministry is inside the pocket of men. It's inside, his ministry is funded from the pockets of human beings, not from the Almighty God. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? I tell people that when I preach, I won't spare myself in case I am in the way. I won't spare myself. So there is nobody I can spare. I won't spare myself.
Prayerfulness is a spiritual virtue. And I am prayerless myself. I will pray against prayerlessness. If waiting on the Lord is good for the pastor and good for the child of God, and I am addicted to food, I will curse the devil of addiction to food and preach against the man who is addicted to food. Even if that includes the speaker. I don't bring the word of God to my standard of living. I take my life to the standard of the word. The word is the standard, not me. So I take me to the standard of the word. I don't take the word to my standard. Many people preach and teach and do things around their own lifestyle, around their own life, around their own behavior. They won't talk against anything that touches them also. Hallelujah. Somebody say a loud amen. Amen. There was a Methodist evangelist. Please take your seat. I think his name was Andrew Johnson. He was preaching one day. And the American president by name Andrew Jackson was seated in the service. So he preached with authority and audacity. And he said, the soul that sinneth, he shall die. You know how Methodist preachers of those ancient days preach. And everyone who is a sinner is going to hell. And Andrew Jackson, if you are a sinner, you're on your way to hell. Brutal people have lived. People who didn't spare, who didn't care about their lives, who all they cared about was the word of God. You're talking that the president is sitting and you are talking to say, I am preaching to everybody, but in case president is not, I don't want you to see this preaching as for other people. You are included in what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Was that number 10? I want everyone to rise out of here and preach the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel. It doesn't matter who that word is against, including yourself. In Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 14, the Bible says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. They are bold to speak the word without fear. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 22. Chapter 2 verse 2. Bold to speak the word without fear. But even after that we had suffered before and we are shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. We are bold to speak the word. We were bold to speak the word. We were bold to speak the word. We are bold to speak the word. Hallelujah. Somebody say aloud, amen. And finally, number 12. Boldness. Empowers us to represent God our generation. You represent God to your generation boldly.
Elijah said in 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 1, he said, before God, whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain this year,
but according to my word.
Before God, whom I stand. There shall not be rain nor dew these days,
except by my word.
Concerning Daniel, they said there shall nothing be found against him except regarding the law of his God. He was a man of notorious spirituality, a man of highly publicized spirituality. He stood out, he represented God to his generation. In Daniel chapter 6 and in verse 10, the Bible said, now when Daniel knew that the decree, that the writing was signed, he went to his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks. You represent God to your generation boldly. When it is not fashionable to be called a Christian, a child of God, a daughter of God, a son of God, especially in the climate of compromise everywhere, in the climate where everybody is trying to hide their head, you represent God boldly
to your generation. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen.
The reason why we give the examples of our fathers is so that examples can communicate principles. Sometime there was meant to be a meeting of witchcraft society in Benin City in Nigeria, and it was announced that they were going to have a meeting of the witches and the wizards, witchcraft, in that place. Archbishop Benson Dahosa was alive, and he was told that a meeting was going to hold like that in his city. And he said the meeting will not hold. He announced that the meeting will not hold. And the head of the witchcraft then came out and said, even if God should come down, the meeting will hold. And somebody else would take it as an insult on God. But that was not what Archbishop said. He came out and said, God does not need to come down. That is why I am here. God does not need to come down. That is why I am here. It will not hold. It never held. Because he took a stand and represented God for his generation. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? So it takes boldness to say, I am here on the behalf of God. I stand here with the authority of God. I don't represent myself. I represent an authority from heaven. And you say it, and you say things, and you decree things, and you dare things, and heaven backs you. Today I decree, somebody is going to walk out of here, and in your city, all the forces of hell will recognize you as the representative of God. In your business, in your line of assignment, all the forces of darkness will recognize you as the representative of God. You believe that, shall the Lord say amen.
Take your seat. Now, what are the keys to boldness? I'm going to rush through this so we can pray. 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 1. It said, who is as the wise man? And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing?
A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine,
and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Number one, wisdom, which is access to the mind of God, brings boldness. Wisdom, which is access to the mind of God, brings boldness. Wisdom, which is access to the mind of God, it brings you boldness. When you know what God wants to do, and when you know how God wants to do it, and it is communicated to you, you move with a level of audacity. You speak with a level of authority. You speak with a finality of authority that will be amazing to people. Why is this man moving like this? Why is he speaking like this? Why is he operating like this? Because he knows what others don't know. He is connected to God's wisdom. He is connected to something God wants to do. He is connected to how God wants to do it. And he is going to do it the same way. So there is no fear at all when you are connected to the mind of God, to how God wants to do it. When you see how God wants to do it, you move with audacity. Take your seat. I just defined one definition of wisdom to you in this statement. Access to the mind of God is wisdom. You access it. Jesus knew what he will do in John chapter 6 and in verse 6. And because he knew what himself will do, he said, tell them to sit down. I'm going to multiply the food. I just accessed the mind of God. He showed me what to do. He said I should make them sit down. He said I should carry the bread. He said I should share the bread to the apostles. And the apostles should share it to the heads of the groups. And then it will just multiply. So all of you, sit down. Something is about to happen. He knew what to do when it was time to multiply, to produce water from wine. He said, fill the water pots with water. And when it was filled, he didn't offer one word of prayer. He said, fetch it now. What a boldness. What a boldness. My prayer for everyone here today is that we stop moving by trial and error. We stop moving by assumption. We start moving by revelation. We stop acting by assumption. We start moving by revelation. Hey! When I was going to go for the crusade, and everything was against it, religious holiday of the other religion was against it. COVID was against it. Terrorism was against it. My wife asked me 48 hours to the crusade. She said, will it hold? I said, I don't know. Then I went before God and I prayed. And the same day, he showed me that he is there. He is on a crusade ground. He is opening the gates of the city. And he is waiting for me there. Ay, 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 ay. When I knew that, when I heard that, already I could see the crusade ground. Already I could see the manifestation. Already I knew that there was no devil, no agent of darkness, no power from hell that was going to stop the things that will happen at that crusade. And we went. What was the boldness? It was the boldness to know what he will do. What boldness made us sleep in that territory? Dr. Mesanetio, do you remember where we slept that night? Yeah, you are there. Yes.
The soldiers that came to protect the place, they left that night. I think the place was dark also. There was no light.
No light.
Yes, sir.
I'm hearing this one now for the first time. The ones that were meant to guard the place against it because of that situation of terror then left the place. The place was dark night till morning. Next day, dark overnight.
Whether generator had fault or whatever, we slept in the dark. In a terroristic... But we slept soundly.
God bless this girl. She's always following me to dangerous places. But at dangerous times. It is easy now for somebody to say, how I wish I can marry this kind of husband. It's easy to say that now. But when you face the reality, that is when you will know whether it is you like to marry that kind of husband. Hallelujah. But what was it that was the boldness? Because you accessed the mind of God. You saw it ahead. This is what God wants to do. And this is how God wants to do it. And then you moved. In the name of Jesus, I decree today, you shall no longer move by assumption. You shall move by revelation. You shall move by direction. Receive in the name of Jesus. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. What is it that is key to boldness? Number two. Walking in righteousness. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Can you take note of this? That righteousness can make a lion out of a person. Makes a lion out of a person. Righteousness can make a lion out of a woman. Righteousness can make a lion out of a man. Righteousness can make a lion even out of a child. The righteous are bold as a lion. Guilt is a killer of boldness. Guilt is a killer of boldness. Have you seen little children? At times they sat and suddenly a snake or something came and is looking at them and they are looking without blinking until an adult comes and says, is that all this snake around this child? And they comes and kill the snake. The child is not aware. Since there is no guilt, there is no fear. Adam was guilty. So he said, I heard your voice and I was afraid. Dr. Mizanete said, you see lion in groups. Have you ever seen snakes in groups? I said, God forbid. We never see a group of snakes. God, that's a nightmare. But children can be looking at you like this straight in your eyes. There are some adults that can't stare at you in the face because of certain things. Those who have slandered you, those who have done terrible things against you. At times when you want to look at them, they look away. Maybe they talk with their head down or with their eye looking to the side because they can't face you because of guilt. But clear conscience is strong boldness. When the conscience is clear, the boldness is there. When the devil tries to raise his head and the accuser, Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing against me. The prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing. My counsel is, endeavor to have a conscience that is void of offense. Acts chapter 24 verse 16. Herein do I exercise my conscience to be void of offense. Always toward God
and toward man. Ensure that between you and God, your heart is clear. And between you and man, your heart is clear. You may not be perfect, 100% perfect, but be 100% sincere with God. Be 100% sincere. Lord, here am I. I am in need of your mercy. I am in need of your pardon. I need more strength to avoid this kind of thing, to overcome this kind of thing. I am asking for your help. I am asking for your mercy. And I receive it. And I receive your grace. But this is why many people are not bold where they should be bold. They can't confront certain things, because something is not right in their relationship with God. Something is not clear. Hallelujah. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. One day, a judge, a court judge, high court judge, asked me to pray with him. He said, somebody killed a person and they brought the case to him. And the person who killed the person is guilty. And in Nigeria, here we have capital punishment. Maximum punishment. That is, if you kill a person, you will be killed. Not life in prison, you will be killed. Right? So, he was going to execute judgment. The people came to try to influence him or maybe bribe him or something. He refused. So they went diabolical. They went occultic. They went witchcraft to attack him, attack his health, attack everything. He said every time he comes to sit on that case, his hand will be vibrating. Everything. He can't write. He can't say anything. Suddenly overcome with fear, you'll be vibrating. I don't know if they have that kind of thing in other parts of the world. That kind of occultic and witchcraft manipulation. He came to me, he said, Pastor, pray for me. Pray with me. And I will never forget what he told me. He said, I have been a judge for 30 years. 30 years. He said, if I have collected one dime of bribe from anybody to influence a judgment, let their diabolic, occultic, witchcraft power succeed against me. He said, but if I have not collected a dime of bribe to influence a judgment, then just forget about it. Pray for me. What they are doing will never affect me. That was a boldness that was rooted in righteousness, that was rooted in a clear conscience, a boldness that was rooted in integrity. And God prevailed because he took a stand. If I haven't done this, then nothing they are doing will affect me. I prophesy to you today, even you, from this moment forward, nothing the devil and his agents are doing will ever affect you. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. It will not affect you. Give the Lord a praise and take your seat. Walking in righteousness. Number three. Look at that. Before we go, see what happened to Elijah. James chapter 5 verse 16 and 17. James chapter 5. Confess your faults one to another. And pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Who is that righteous man? Elijah was a man subject to like passions like we are. So we are seeing one of the secrets of Elijah that made him stand before Ahab and say, thus saith the Lord, there shall be no rain or dew in this land except as the God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no deal. What a boldness. It was rooted in the clearness of conscience. Somebody say aloud, amen. Number three. Walk. Number one was wisdom. Number two, walking in righteousness. Number three, being with the Lord. Being with the Lord at the place of communion. Being with the Lord. Acts chapter 4 verse 13. He said when they beheld. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and took knowledge of them. That they had been with Jesus. Being with Jesus. Being with the Master imparts boldness. Actually, who you are with affects the boldness you can walk in. You cannot be bold when you company with cowards. When you company with the fearful. I can take that at another point. Who you are with. Being with the Lord. There is a lionization that happens in your communion with your Maker. That climate of worship, that climate of intimacy, that climate of communion, that climate of His presence in your life, that climate is an impartation of a lion nature. Let me rush. Being with the Lord. Number four. Is prayer demand for boldness, which is what we're going to do today. Prayer demand for boldness. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. They said, now Lord, behold their threatenings and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak. You can pray for boldness. Lord, I don't like the way I am. I want to be bold. Acts chapter 4 verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Prayer demand for boldness. Prayer demand. Number 5 is the activity of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes a man bold. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. It said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. That is, it's not a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of boldness. The spirit of boldness, the spirit of power, the spirit of love. If He has not given us the spirit of fear, it means He has given us the spirit of boldness. The spirit of fearlessness. Of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And you saw in Acts chapter 4 and in verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spake with boldness. Exercise in the Holy Ghost is exercise unto boldness. I can speak to you from experience. Exercise in the Holy Ghost. I remember many, many years ago, my friends and myself were praying in the Holy Ghost. I don't know whether it was 3 hours or 5 hours non-stop. It was around the year of 1986, 40 years ago. We were praying in tongues for hours. The moment we finished praying in tongues, we opened the door, about 3 of us, and just began to go out on rampage. We were moving from compound to compound. Is there any demon possessed here? 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 And we were laying hands and casting out devils. You know, we got so charged up in the Holy Ghost that you felt like you can deal with any devil anywhere. Hey!
Those were very, very aggressive operations in the Holy Spirit. You are charged up. You are charged up. He that prays speaketh in an unknown tongue, edifieth himself. The word edifies, the Greek word oikodomio. That is, he charges up himself. He enlarges himself. He builds up himself. He emboldens himself. He emboldens himself. Beloved, that is the value of praying. Not just praying in tongues, but praying abundantly in the spirit. Take your seat. It's like you can take on any devil. You can take on any force of darkness. You can take on any power of hell. You can take on any, you can take on anything by the activity of the Holy Spirit. And the activity of the Holy Spirit involves the Holy Spirit speaking to you and giving you direction. In our area, one church, the beginning of the church there, we came to the point where the church was not growing as it should. It became stable around between about 4,000 to 6,000 people. About 6,000, let's say. It became stable. So we had three services in the area, one church. The first service was filled until under the gallery. The second service, but nobody on the gallery. The second service was filled completely. The third service was halfway. That is, the sanctuary was filled till halfway. Half all the way to the back is not filled. Gallery is not filled. Second service is filled completely. First service is still under the gallery. Everything we did, the church remained that way. And the multiple services then was done to give people options, especially those who go early to work on Sunday and so on. But that was what we did. I became led and I told the people of our church, put chairs outside in the overflow by the leading of the Holy Ghost and by the power of vision. The sanctuary was not totally filled yet, but you are talking of overflow. I did that. Then on the way to London one day, I was like in between asleep and awake, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me that when I got back to Nigeria, I should announce five services of grace. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you don't have, third service is not filled. First service is not totally, it's not filled. And you want five services. But I had the Holy Ghost. And I came back home and I announced it. Next Sunday we shall be having five, not, was it two Sundays I gave? Alright. We shall be having five services of grace. We publicized. By the time that Sunday, I think it was two Sundays, by the time that Sunday arrived, service number one, filled up and down. Number two, filled. Number three, filled. Number four, filled. Number five, filled. We had 10,000 people on top of the previous Sunday's attendance. On top, above the last Sunday's attendance. With overflows. We never experienced four services. We jumped from 3 to 5. And then from 5 to people sitting inside the premises. And then from people sitting inside the premises to people sitting outside on the road. Until we began to have overflow 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. The whole place was overwhelmed. And at that time we didn't have plenty of churches in Abuja yet. Am I communicating? Today there are close to 300 churches within this city alone that meet on Sundays apart from this one. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Hear me. That kind of boldness that makes you to take such a decision. O
only happens. It only happens when there is the activity of the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost is speaking to you and you move. He said it and you moved. 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 We are talking of hundreds of churches. Yes, separate from this one. Yes, in this city. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? I speak to someone here today. I announce to somebody here today, in the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, the Spirit of God will begin to walk with you and talk with you and move you into your high places. Shout the loudest, amen. A louder, amen. Loudmost, amen. Hallelujah. I don't know how many of you are in Lagos now. Lagos is heading towards 50. Makurdi is almost. Within Benue, Makurdi, the capital of Benue State, has over 60 locations outside the central church in the state. Not the whole of Benue State, just Makurdi town. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The earth being overwhelmed, overrun with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the seas. As the waters cover the seas. As the waters. But it takes the boldness to dare. Tonight at the vigil, as many of all the locations, as many as can be shown, let it be shown tonight. Let them see themselves. People are surprised that under 24 hours, 48 hours notice, Uyo was overwhelmed. You planted how many churches in Uyo since then? 14 churches already. In the city. In the south, not in this area. Port Harcourt should be over 30 now. They are about 40. It's growing. Where you say that Massacre Church, which is Massacre Central, has Massacre branches up to 10. Massacre 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That is a branch of a branch. Hallelujah. But something is about to be reproduced in somebody's life. You are saying amen, say it like a believer. You are saying amen, say it like a believer. You are saying amen, shout the loudest, believers, amen. Lift your hands and say, Father, I receive the boldness to dare the undearable in the name of Jesus. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. And now, number 6, after the activity of the Holy Ghost. Are you ready for this? It's understanding our place in Christ. When you understand who you are in God, who you are in Christ, it tears up boldness. Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 12. He said, in whom, that is in Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him, in Christ. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19.
He said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We have boldness by the blood. We have boldness in Christ. In Psalm 49 and in verse 12 and in verse 20, he said, nevertheless, man being in honor and abided not is like the beast that perish. Verse 20, man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. Like the beast that perish. The man is in honor but he doesn't understand. He is like an animal that is perishing. Understanding. You charge your mind to take charge of your world. Say that again. You charge your mind to take charge of your world. You charge your mind to take charge of your world. If you need to take charge of your world, you must charge your mind. Charge your mind with understanding to take charge of your world. Psalm 82 verse 5. To verse 7, he said, they know not, neither will they understand, so they walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. I've said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. You charge your mind to take charge of life. Hallelujah. Nobody will see you higher than how you see yourself. The devil will not see you higher than how you see yourself. Numbers 13:33. He said we were like grasshoppers. In our own sight. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Grasshoppers. In our sight. Grasshoppers. Hallelujah. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say, I am not a grasshopper. I am an eagle. I am a lion. Say loud, I am a lion. I am a lion. I am a lion. I am of the tribe of the lion of the tribe of Judah. So you just go, you take charge. You go, you take charge. We're in London, England. Was it April? Newcastle, a place that you rarely have a program such as that. Never. Place overwhelmed. It was an eruption. Britons spoken to take charge of their land. You saw the clip the other day. How many locations are you in the UK? Almost 30 now. Okay. What of the viewing centers alongside? So you pull the total together. What's that? UK is almost 30. Hallelujah. You charge. There are branches in Pakistan now. Another one was planted 2 Sundays ago. Maybe they can give us the clips of the that is there is a central location with branches in Pakistan. But everyone is rising from here and rising to go take charge. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If
you are saying amen, shout the believers, amen.
Father, we give you the praise. So charge your mind. Take charge. Everywhere you step into, you charge your mind. And you take charge. Take your seat as well, round off and begin to pray. Number 7. We give you glory, Lord. As we honor you, we give you glory, Lord. As we honor you, you are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord. You are wonderful. You are worthy. Wonderful Lord, you are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord. You are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Our love is made perfect so that we may have boldness. Number 7 is perfected love. Walking in perfected love. Love for God will make you dear things for God. Love for people will make you dear things on the behalf of people. Love. Love.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, dear Nebuchadnezzar,
because of their love for God. Daniel chapter 3 verse 16 to verse 18. They could step into the lion's den. They could enter into the fire. Because of their love for God. Love for God.
Love for both God and man. He made David to dear Goliath. He loved God too much to watch somebody insult his God. He loved the people too much to watch somebody oppress them.
In 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 34 to 37. Love for God and love for man. Love for God and love for man. It pushes you into boldness. You dare things. You dare things. You dare things that you are just bold enough to step into things and dare things. You dare things out of love for people. You dare things out of love for God. You dare things.
One day, I was to go to preach in Kogi State. Were you the pastor there? I think it was a dinner then. Anyiba. And I was to hold a crusade in Anyiba. I think it was KSU, but it was a citywide crusade. I had finished healing and deliverance service on Tuesday. I was very tired. And so, when I imagined the road, imagine from here to Abaji, boom, 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 and then from there to Lokoja, and then Ajokuta. Then Ajokuta could take you 1 hour, a 25 minutes journey because of bad road. And then Itobe. Go and turn. When I pictured all of that in my mind, and I'm to leave Abuja around 2 p.m. I told the pastor, I said, I'm so sorry. I cannot come today. Please help me take tonight's service crusade. Let at that time we had not even started ministering from a distance. Help me tell them, by all means, by God's grace, I will be there tomorrow. As an obedient servant, he said, yes, sir. Although they have been waiting since morning. He said, people in pains, sick people, blind people, crippled people, they have been coming since morning for a program that will be starting in the evening. When I heard that, tiredness died, weakness died, the passion and the boldness to dare the road landed. He couldn't even stop talking when I told him I'm on my way. I said, just go ahead, set everything, I'm on my way coming. Rushed home, jumped into the car. I drove all the way. I didn't know what tiredness was. I arrived at that place. I ministered like somebody from another world. Somebody that came from a holiday, maybe. As if it was miracles, signs and wonders. The people, the paralyzed, the crippled, the blind, the deaf, they didn't go back disappointed because I heard something. And when I heard it, I felt something. And every sense of inconvenience disappeared. There are things we are not daring because of lack of sufficient passion, lack of sufficient compassion, lack of sufficient love for God. And this is not an indictment. This is reality. There are things that love will make you do. Love for God will make you do that you wouldn't do otherwise. Love for people, passion for people will drive you. The days we did crusade, what is helicopter? Pastor Imai Jash, what is helicopter? What is bishop? What is aeroplane? We did it raw. Okada and trekking. We climbed on motorcycle back. Went into interior villages. Remember Angmoda? Atakpa? Went into interior villages. Today people rise up and everybody wants to fly on the spot. Are you following what I'm saying? When you say we are going for crusade in Zaria, you went raw on the road. I was the driver. My wife likes my driving because there are times I drive like Jehu. She will not forget one driving from Zaria to Bauchi, from Kanu to Zaria, just lungu like that. Zaria to Kanu, Kanu to Bauchi, Bauchi to Jos, and just moving like that. Just from one place to another, one crusade to the other. Do you don't know what I'm talking about? And then the time came when God said, you have labored so much, let me make it a bit easy. He said, I know you will still be we are going to villages till now. Went to Angpa this year. Went to Okene this year. Went to places. As a matter of love for the people. By December last year, we had two places to go. We had to go. We had Angpa to go, which is a stronghold of the other religion, as well as a terrorism stronghold. I mean, local powers. And then we had Igbira land, which is the same. I don't know which is more. Somebody, one of the people, when he saw the poster of Igbira land, a pastor, he called me. He said, you are going to Igbira land? He said, he did secondary school there. He said they are very dangerous masquerades. that before they come out, he himself was with the masquerade himself. He's now a pastor. Before they come out, they will go to the shrine first and charge up with powers before they arrive as masquerade. Very, very day. Movie with cutlass. He said, that is where you are going now. He said, I wish I can go with you. Till today, we are still going to those places. Till tomorrow, till Jesus comes. Do you understand? Why do you have to go to those places when you can fly to Sao Paulo and you can fly to Rio de Janeiro and you can fly to Canada and you can fly? Why do you still have to go to those localities? In one of the crusades I went this year, the hotel we slept has no light. I used my phone light to prepare message. Did you hear what I said? I slept in a hotel, no light. I used my phone touch light to prepare a message. And use cold water. No warm water, no heater, nothing. No running tap. You know, most people, all they see is glamour of ministry. And all the young generation is looking for is glamorous ministry. Internet ministry. Trending. Online trend. And I will do it again. When we went to Oju, the year we went to Oju, Pastor Paul was with us. You are with us. The water we drank was as brown as this rug. Drinking water. 2008. It was okay, and it's not an indictment at all. No place to stay. Road. We drove by road. Road that. And I told my wife, now the last time we went, everything has changed. In a better way. Hotels have come and all of that. Great things. I told her, I would like to go back there again. I want to go back there again. Am I communicating at all? So, these things. You dare. That passion for God, love for God, and love for the people, it makes you, I mean, for you, the village is the same as New York. Someone said, if God should send two angels, and he said, angel one, go and do it. It's a job for me in Toronto, Canada. Angel 2, go and do a job for me in the remotest witchcraft infested village in Haiti. You go to Toronto, Canada. You go to the witchcraft places. Help him. The worst one in Africa. He said, for the angels, it doesn't matter who went where. It didn't matter who is going here and who is going there. What matters is the love for their master. Loyalty to their master. For either of them, all of the places were the same. I'm sorry to say this. Somebody was asking me to ask somebody to come for him as a guest minister. Somebody that he said I should ask, talk to a particular person, discuss. And I told him, I said, it's not a possibility. The kind of hotel that is a prescription is not available where you are. So don't waste your time. We have invited people before and they give us prescription even of what to drink. Say, really? What to drink? Drink it where you are.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody here is going places. Somebody here is going places. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. Lift your hands and say, Father, fill my heart with your love. Fill my heart with passion for you. Fill my heart with love for people to impact my world. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name.
Give the Lord the praise. And finally, please take your seat. Finally, tonight, today, boldness can be a product number 8 of divine encounter, which is what I'm trusting the Lord to give to us this morning. A divine encounter. Moses had an encounter. Moses was on the run. He was a fugitive, a vagabond, a coward, on the run, on the run, on the run. He was on the run. And then he encountered God in Exodus chapter 3. From verse 1 all the way to verse 10. And that was an impartation of boldness. And in Exodus chapter 4 and in verse 23, Moses began to confront Pharaoh. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy firstborn. Even thy son, even thy firstborn. Let my son go. That was the same Pharaoh he was running from. Is that same Pharaoh he is confronting and is challenging, because he just had an encounter. He just got an experience. In Exodus chapter 5 and in verse 1, he went further. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Let my people go. Let my people go. Hallelujah. A divine encounter. If you look at the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 6, Gideon was afraid and timid. In verse 11, and there came an angel, I'll read to verse 14, of the Lord, who sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. Wheat by the wine press. Wheat. He was in confusion. Do you thresh wheat by the wine press? No, no, no. Wine is at the wine press. Wheat is at the wheat floor. It's like carrying your suit to the car mechanic for repair. It doesn't work that way. But the Bible said he was to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said, how can I be mighty if the Lord is with us? Look at all that has befallen us. Where are all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon them and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?
That encounter killed fear. That encounter killed inferiority. That encounter killed timidity. It turned Gideon into a lion. It moved him out. And Gideon, with 32,000 people, God said, it's still too much. Removed 22,000 who are fearful. It is still too much. All I need is 3,000. And with 3,000, Gideon caused the greatest havoc to the Midianites that anybody ever caused because of a divine encounter. I want somebody this morning to pray for an encounter that will turn you into a surprise to yourself. A surprise, a shock to your family, a shock to all those who know you. It will turn you into something to yourself. Am I communicating at all? My wife and those who know me by his message know I have a very, very, very tender heart in many, many ways. Just easily. When he came, he said he has never felt a love like this all his life. Help him, help, 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 help. Just loving. My children feel it. I could shed tears in worship. I could shed tears with someone's affliction. There are times in the service here, I'm about to pray for somebody, I explode into tears. There are times when people are talking to me, I hold myself from crying. So the person don't think that the problem is too much for God to handle. So now this one that the pastor is crying, it means it cannot be solved. You saw me crying in Cameroon. What happened to my father? Why is he crying? You know, so at times I hold myself because some people will think, okay, I knew the devil was too strong. See, the one pastor is crying. It is confirmed that my case is over. I am helpless. It cannot be solved. That is the reason for. So I hold myself most times. But the opposite is true. When the lion comes out, you will be so shocked. So shocked. Ay, 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 ay. So shocked. The devil is shocked. The recipients are so shocked. And that is what God wants to do with somebody here today. The combination of the lion and the lamb, which is what Jesus is. The lion and the lamb. Where there is the need for the manifestation of the lamb, it manifests. Where there is the need for the manifestation of a lion, it manifests. Stand upon your feet. With that lion, we have charged on afflictions, charged on demonic torments. So return back to hell. Beloved, today, you'll be asking God for an encounter. I'm not going to leave this conference with a chicken heart. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. A visitation. The Bible said the endless expectation of creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Your generation is waiting. Communities are waiting.